By your heart that you would rather have Jesus than anything. Amen. How many of you know Brother and Sister Martin that are going to be coming on Sunday? Okay. They came in, I don't know how many years ago, to do a family revival like I've asked them to do Sunday through Wednesday. But he's been by one other time, I think just a couple years ago, and preached on a Sunday. But if you have not yet met them, you are going to be in for a real treat. I can honestly say they are one, if not the most godly family that I've ever had the privilege of getting to know. And really, the only—I was just joking around with somebody the other day—the only bad thing about having them come to your church is the fact that they make you feel like you're not even saved once they get here. Okay, and he doesn't have to preach hard and stand up here and say, "You guys ain't doing this and you're not doing that." All you've got to do is just hang around with him and you think, man, he is on a different plane than what I've ever even thought about being on. And a lot of people find that kind of thing discouraging, and in a way that it is. You know, Brother Boyer, I mean, I wish I was farther ahead and same place, but in a way it's very encouraging because I can see where I can get on to be. And I was talking with Brother Mike Shelton. He's an instructor down at OBI. We were just talking one day on the phone, and I didn't know it, but he used to be Brother Martin's assistant for a while, and I didn't know that at the time. And anyway, we started talking about him, and he said this, which is probably the greatest compliment I've ever heard given to anybody, save the compliment that God gave to Job. Okay, and he said, "Brother Kincaid, I can honestly tell you this." He said, "You know, a lot of people think that Paul must have been a tremendously holy and spiritual man." And I said, "Well, yeah, by all means, look at everything that he did." He said, "But I can tell you this one thing: he wasn't any more godly than what Brother James Martin was." Now, here's a guy that worked with him, saw him with all of his quirks and, you know, all those things. I mean, just like, you know, me and Brother Armstrong get along fine, but I'm sure he's seen areas in me thinking, man, you know, that guy needs to work on some stuff, or whatever the case might be. And here you have this guy that's worked right beside him, and he said, "Listen, Paul might be as godly as what James Martin is, but he's not more godly than what he was." Amen. So I want to encourage you, be here. Amen. I can promise you, I've been trying to get him to be able to come to do this kind of revival for probably 4 years, 4 years now, and it's never worked out. And when he called and said that he could make it work, because it was going to be real busy, I was getting ready. He was going to come for revival Sunday through Wednesday. I was going to leave early Thursday morning, drive all the way through 16 hours to Oklahoma so I could preach during the weekend there. Then I was going to turn around, go back to convocation Monday through Thursday and turn around and come back home. Okay, so having him come was going to be an inconvenience when you look at it from those things. And then now it's turned out where I'm not going to Oklahoma and I'm not going to convocation either. Okay, so it's going to be easy for me now. But if I would have had to walk to Oklahoma, I would have still had him come. And I want you to really look at the importance of what I believe God's wanting to do. Because when you have a minister come, especially with the family that he has, I mean, if you don't know them, when their family gets here, you'll understand why they go around preaching on family revivals. You'll get a hold of it real quick. I mean, I think their kids stand up and quote, you know, half the book, you know, Genesis, you know, from memory, and then they sing. I mean, it's just incredible. But you'll find out, I didn't have them come because I think our families are in trouble. I had them come because I want our families to be more godly. And even if we were standing here, we said, "Well, we have very few problems in our church as far as our families are concerned." Good. Let's get even more godly as far as our families are concerned. Okay. So we need to understand, don't be offended when you have a topic held for revival like the pastor thinks, "Oh man, everybody's really lacking in this area. I mean, these people with these young kids or these, you know," don't let the devil trick you into that kind of stuff. I just want to see us to be the best we can possibly be. Amen? Amen. So go ahead and grab your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to be going along the same lines that I did on Sunday morning. And it looks like I'm going to be going that way again because I wanted to have 2 points to this message. And as I was doing it, the Lord only allowed me to do the one. So it looks like we'll have at least part three of this. And maybe it'll go farther because it would have the potential to turn into a big series. But how many of you were not in here on Sunday morning? Okay, we got a bunch. That's kind of what I thought. Okay. We're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now I really want to direct your attention to verse 3, where it says, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to preach to you for a while on the characteristics of a child, part 2. Okay? And Brother Matt, would you pray? Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Now, I thought there'd be a lot of people that would be out just because we got so many people that are involved in doing things on Sunday morning with the kids. So I really, for an introduction, just want to kind of recap what we talked about on Sunday. But a lot of times us preachers fancy ourselves to be a lot more interesting than what we really are. And we think that everybody's going to remember everything that we said. But the fact of the matter is a lot of times it's just not that way. Okay? Now, in the first sermon that I preached on this subject on Sunday morning, I tried to show the extreme importance of us as believers really getting a hold of what the Lord's telling us to do here in verse 3, where He said this, Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I started off that message by explaining how that even though this commandment sounds fairly strange when you first hear it, the reason I say that is because how many of you had somebody tell you to act like a kid today? I mean, that just isn't what happens. I mean, Brother Prysock, I've had people tell me to act my age and not goof around so much and be more mature and things like that. So it sounds kind of funny to us when somebody tells us, or especially the Son of God, exhorting us and giving an instruction and commandment for us to become like little children. But at the same time, it's still absolutely essential for us to both understand exactly what He's talking about and to make sure that we go on to appropriate it into our lives. Okay? Even though it sounds weird, we still got to make sure we know what He's talking about and that we go on to do what He's asking us to do. And the reason it's so essential that we do these things is for two reasons. The first is because when the Son of God opens His mouth and He tells us to do something, we need to make sure that we view that commandment or that instruction in two different ways. Number one, we got to see it of the utmost of importance, the highest priority. And then next, we need to view it as something that is absolutely essential for us to obey. Because if we're going to be Christians, then we have to do what Christ says, right? Because after all, when the Son of God says something, it's important, right? And when He tells us to do something, we're to do it. Now, I know a lot of times we take on an attitude where we don't think that's the way it is. But folks, when you read your Bible, He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Okay? And the second reason that it's essential that we make sure that we both understand and apply what this verse is telling us to do is simply because of the severity of the consequence that verse 3 ends with. Notice what it says. Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That's about as severe as it gets, right? I mean, He's saying, listen, unless you do what I'm telling you to do in this verse, you by no means are going to enter into the kingdom of God. We need to take that serious. Amen? So it's very easy to see that what the Lord's commanding us to do in this particular verse is something that is not even close to being optional. But it's something that is absolutely essential to every single one of our spiritual lives if we want to enter into the kingdom of God. We got to get a hold of that before we go any further. So the fact of the matter is that this subject that we're talking about tonight and that we were dealing with on Sunday morning is as serious as you can possibly get. Because Jesus Himself said that it's spiritual life or death. It's going to cause us to go to hell, or it's going to cause us to make it into heaven. He says, if we do not do what He's telling us to do, don't even think that you're going to make it. But then on the other hand, Brother Boyer, if we do what He tells us to do, we by all means are going to. So even though what we're being commanded to do in verse 3 might sound a little bit strange, and even though it might be a little bit confusing at first, because after all, He doesn't elaborate on what He said. He just said, hey, I want you to become like little children. As the people of God, we have to make sure that we take the time to try to figure out exactly what He's meaning simply because of the weight of this particular verse, or the content of this verse. And that's what we attempted to do during that first message on Sunday morning. What we did is we came to the conclusion that the full meaning behind this commandment had both a very obvious interpretation and that there could also be some more subtle things that the Lord could be trying to get us to understand. So there's two different ways that we can interpret this. And I'll just tell you, as far as a hermeneutic standpoint, one thing that you always want to do is look at that scripture you're trying to interpret in its context. Okay? And then you can ask yourself, what else could it possibly be meaning? And if it interrupts or if it contradicts what the content of that message is, then you know those other things that you're trying to put in don't fit. But if they don't, I mean, it opens up to the possibility. Okay? Now, the obvious interpretation of what we talked about was based off the answer that Jesus gave to the question that His disciples asked Him in verse 1. Because they asked a very pointed question. It says in verse 1, and at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Okay, now they ask this question all the time, it seems like, when you read through the gospel. And you need to understand that when they asked this question, they weren't wanting to know who the most important angel was. I mean, Brother G, all they were saying, hey, is it Gabriel or Michael? I mean, who holds the most clout? That's not what they were talking about. They weren't saying, hey, Lord, who's going to be the most important in the Trinity when we get to the kingdom of heaven? Is it going to be God the Father, then you the Son, and then the Holy Spirit? Or is it... That's not what they were talking about either. But they were wanting to know who amongst themselves was going to be the most important when they got into the kingdom of God. Who was going to hold the most clout? Who was going to have the highest priority or the strongest position when they got into the kingdom of God? And then, because of that question, we see Jesus giving them this answer in verse 3. He said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, what He was telling them is this. He was saying, listen guys, if you guys don't repent of your selfish ambitions and this improper motives and misguided greed that's consuming your life, then you're not even going to make it into the kingdom of heaven, let alone be the most important when you get there. And so this fairy tale or this scheme that you're trying to draw up and that you're trying to pressure me into isn't going to work. But if you really want to make it into the kingdom of God, what you're going to have to do is become as humble, as content, and as satisfied as a little child instead. Which was exactly opposite of what they wanted to hear. Because they wanted, John wanted to hear, oh, you know what, John, you're going to be the most important. Or Peter wanted to hear, you're going to have the highest position. But that's just not the way that was. So, contextually, that's the proper interpretation of this text. Because He is answering a question that they asked in verse 1. And He's telling them, listen, unless you repent of those views and you become like a little child in this area or with this attitude that you have, you're not even going to make it. But then we also tried to figure out what He could have been, you know, meaning or what could have been included in some of the more subtle things that Jesus may have been referring to when He said this. Because His choice of illustration there was very interesting. Because the fact of the matter is He could have been referring to all kinds of different things simply because when it comes to children, they take on all different kinds of characteristics. I mean, you don't just say that a child's playful and that's it. I mean, there's all different kinds of ways that you could describe them, all kinds of different characteristics that they have. And there was two different childlike characteristics that we studied out on Sunday morning. The first was the fact that children are very teachable. And they are. Second was the fact that children are very trusting. And I want to talk about that for just a second. Okay, now when we said that children are very teachable, we talked about the fact that kids don't know very much, and they don't even claim to. Okay? They don't go around trying to, you know, act like they're know-it-alls about every subject there is to know about. And they don't pretend to go around, you know, acting like, you know, there's somebody that they're not. Like they've got it all together and they know everything there is to know about everything. They don't waste their time doing that. And because they have that characteristic, they usually demonstrate an overwhelming desire to learn. Why? Because they realize they don't know very much. They want to know more. And because of that, they'll ask questions and they're always constantly wanting to find information so that they can expand their knowledge. But, we said so many times, adults would rather waste their time doing the exact opposite of what children do. And they don't take on this childlike characteristic of being teachable, but a lot of times what happens in an adult's life, and especially in their spiritual lives, is they're not teachable at all. And I gave the example of a new convert I knew one time who came, and because he had prior knowledge of the things of God, I mean, his mother was a Christian years ago and he went to church when he was a kid and he got saved and he wouldn't even let me work with him. I mean, Sister Davis, he already knew everything there was to know and he was planning on studying to be a minister within the first 2 weeks that he was saved. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I'd say, listen, man, you're going to have to calm down. I mean, you're going to have to get some instruction under your belt because you're getting too big for your britches. Your mama ever tell you that? You're getting too big for your britches. And what happens when you do that? God settles you down in a big way, or the devil comes and smacks you upside the head so hard that you don't even know which way's up. And that's exactly what happened to that guy. And that's the way a lot of folks are. God, you don't tell me what to do, but I'll go ahead and tell you what I want to do because I'm not teachable. I already got it all figured out. And then when I was praying about that particular point after I preached that on Sunday morning, I came down and I was asking the Lord, Lord, you know, what are some avenues in my life that I might not be teachable in? I mean, I study all the time. Kind of got to do that, you know. You know, I try to, you know, have a devotional. Lord, I try to do all these things, but is there a way in my life that I'm not very teachable? And He spoke to my heart and He says, there's a way that you aren't and there's a way that a lot of other people aren't either. And I said, well, what is it? He said, well, you know how a lot of times I'll try to instruct you on things, but you don't want to listen, and you know, it gets to the place where I've tried to talk to you and I've tried to deal with you and you'll let it go for, you know, a little ways, and all of a sudden I'll have to bring a hardship into your life so that you have to learn things the hard way because there's no other way that you tend to listen. Yeah, Lord, I'm stubborn. I've done that in my past. You have too. Don't look at me like I'm unspiritual. You've done the exact same thing. I mean, when God says, hey, I want you to do this, you just always go, yes, Lord, no problem. I mean, that's not the way that we are. Our flesh rises up against it, and sometimes He's got to teach us things the hard way. But He said, you want to know what the most tragic thing about somebody being unteachable is? Is when I have to take them through that hardship to try to teach them the hard way, and at the same time, they go through that adversity, but they don't learn the lesson that I was trying to show them. And that's what adults do a lot of times. We're unteachable and we don't have that childlike characteristic. And then we also talked about the fact that children are very trusting as well. Okay, for instance, whenever you're around a child, one of the first things that you'll take notice of is the fact that they take complete confidence in that what you're telling them is true. And because of that, they expect the things that you tell them to actually come to pass. Okay, the illustration that I used was the fact that with all four of my daughters, one of the fun things that I got to do with them is I would set them up on our stairs and I'd have them jump off into my arms. Okay? And there's a purpose that I did that with my kids. It's because I wanted them to learn to trust their dad. You say, well, that sounds silly. No, it's not silly at all. And I'll do subtle things all the time to secure that place in my children's hearts. But anyway, won't get into that. I'd set them up and I'd tell them to jump off, and when I first asked them to do it, I mean, they were very nervous and they were scared because I was asking them to do something that was completely out of their comfort zones. When I said, hey, I want you to jump off that step, the only thing they could think about wasn't a loving father waiting to catch them in his arms, but they were looking at the ground that was under me, thinking about how bad it would hurt if they would fail or if they would fall. But after I'd take the time to assure them that Daddy was going to do exactly what he said he was going to do, and if they would jump off those steps, I'd catch them, they'd start jumping off those stairs fully trusting that I was going to get them in my arms just like I said I would. And we did it over and over to the place where they'd just jump off those steps without a fearful bone in their body. I mean, just convinced that I was going to be there to do what I said I would do. And because of that, they'd want to do it all the time. And because of that, they constantly want to go higher and higher up the staircase and get more and more daring as we went. Okay? Which again, is the exact opposite of the characteristics that most adults demonstrate in their spiritual lives. Because all that most adults tend to demonstrate is this characteristic of wanting to stay within their comfort zones. And God, I realize that I'm standing up on these steps and you're asking me to jump off like when I'm at Walmart and you ask me to witness to that person that's in line with me, or, you know, when I'm at work and you tell me to give that person a tract or whatever the case might be. But because I'm so focused on how I'm going to fall or what the consequences could be and the fact that I might be rejected or I might not have the perfect words to say or whatever the case might be, I'm not focused on my Father's arms and trust Him to do what He said He's going to do. All I'm focused in on all these consequences that really wouldn't take place if I just learned to trust in the Lord. And because people are so, you know, focused in on the wrong thing, they don't trust God like they should. And because of that, they can't go on to be used like He wants to use them. Why? Because they won't get off the steps. So it's easy to see that both of these childlike characteristics are absolutely essential for every one of us to have in our spiritual lives. Simply because without them, we will hinder ourselves from learning everything that God wants us to learn. And will hinder ourselves from being used in the way that God intends to use us. And then we close that message by saying that because of these things, it is our duty to make sure that both of these childlike characteristics are firmly established in our lives as believers. Okay? So that we can go on to be everything that God has asked us to be, and so that we can go on to do everything that the Lord wants to use us to do. They have to be in place. But there's also a number of other childlike characteristics that would be very, very beneficial for every single one of us to come to an understanding of, and then to make sure that we incorporate into our spiritual lives as well. And tonight we're going to be dealing with another one that unfortunately a lot of adults seem to neglect in their spiritual lives too. Okay? And the other characteristic that children seem to have that is essential for us as Christians to incorporate into our spiritual life is the fact that children have a very strong desire to grow up and to mature. Yeah, they do. To grow up and to mature. Friend, every child that I've ever met has always demonstrated an overwhelming desire to grow up and to take on new responsibilities. Now, you all are silent and you're looking at me kind of funny, but just let me put it to you like this. How many of you have ever heard a little girl ask her mom if she could help her do the laundry, cook the dinner, or wash the dishes? We all have, haven't we? How many of you have ever heard a little boy ask their dad if he could help mow the lawn or work on the car or go to work with him during the day? I mean, I've heard kids say that all the time. Now, why do you think that happens? Well, it's because kids don't want to stay little their whole lives. That's why. I mean, they don't want to remain insufficient or incapable of doing things for themselves. They don't want to be helpless or at the mercy of their own circumstances. But they want to be able to have the ability to step up to the plate and do things for themselves. They want to grow up. How many of you have ever heard a toddler or somebody that's, you know, 5, 6, 7, or 8 say, "Boy, I wish I was just a baby so I could lay in my crib and sleep all day." No. They desire to grow and to become mature. And at the same time, they don't want to just grow up part way, but they want to grow up in full. I mean, they're not satisfied to just turn 15 or 16. I mean, what's a 15 or 16-year-old say they want to turn? Well, 21 when you're out in the world, 18 when you're a Christian, right? Y'all know what I'm saying? I mean, that's what you always hear. I mean, when I was that age, I mean, we all wanted to be 21 for obvious reasons. I mean, when I asked Cree, you know, how old, you know, and she's, "Oh, I just can't wait till I turn 18, then I'm an adult," and all these, well, they don't have any idea what they're getting themselves into. But they don't want to be 15 or 16. They also want to go on to be an adult. I mean, they want to be 18, 20, 25. And they want to become an adult because they want to experience the full scope of adult maturity. And the desire that a child has to grow up and to mature is also a continual progression. Because like I said, they don't want to grow up in part, they want to grow up in full. Okay? And they realize that's going to take some time. Now, they don't desire to just grow up intellectually and their body stay small. You ever seen a kid say that? Man, I want to be the smartest person in the world, but I only want to be 3'7". No. They want to grow up physically and intellectually. That's just the way that it is. So they don't want to grow up in part, they want to grow up in full. And at the same time, they don't want to just get a driver's license, but they want to go on to graduate from high school, to get a job, to buy a house, to meet their spouse, to get married, to have children, and to live the life that an adult lives. It's a progression. They realize that. And the reason why is simply because those are the kind of things that grown-ups do. I mean, think about it. That's the example that they have in front of them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and because of it, they won't be satisfied with anything less. I mean, if somebody said, okay, you want to grow up and be mature, that's great. We'll let you grow up intellectually, but not physically. And how tall are you right now? Well, I'm 3'7". Well, that's all the taller you're going to get. But you're going to be as smart as Einstein. Would a kid be satisfied with that? What if they said, well, you know, you've been dying to get your driver's license, and then we'll let you get old enough and mature enough to where you get your ability to drive, and you can drive all over, but you can't grow anymore from there. Would they be satisfied with that? No. They want to go on to do what grown-ups do. Simply put, when it comes to maturing and becoming everything that they need to be, kids are not willing to settle for some short-changed experience, but they want to experience everything that there is to experience. But how many of you know that that's not exactly the way that it is with a lot of saints of God? Because they don't seem to have this overwhelming desire to grow up in their spiritual lives and to take on all these new exciting responsibilities, but a lot of times they are perfectly content to remain spiritual adolescents and completely insufficient in all too many things. Okay, in other words, you could say it like this. Yes, they had a genuine salvation experience, and yet, despite the amount of time they've been saved, they are still babes in Christ or spiritual toddlers at best. Okay? Which is obviously something that hinders them greatly in their spiritual lives, because it limits their abilities and it causes them to be incapable of all kinds of different things, like resisting temptation. And because they've never taken the time to mature in their faith and to grow in their relationship with God, whenever the devil comes and starts enticing them, Brother Prysock, they fall for it every single time. Why? Because they're not spiritually mature. Or how about in them being used mightily by God? I mean, how many of you really believe that God has an awesome plan for every single one of our lives, and everything that we read about in the book of Acts is something that He wants to occur inside of our own personal lives? On a continual basis. But even though He has this desire, they're not able to be used mightily by the hand of God because they've never taken the time to get close enough to Him. Now think about it. I mean, maybe they've been saved, and maybe they've even initially been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but because they've never taken the time to experience any of the gifts, they can't go on to be used in those ways. Why? Because they're not maturing. They're not growing up in their relationship like they ought to be. Or what about them being the shining testimony or the living example that God desires for them to be? Listen, if they won't take the time to become spiritually mature, they cancel out the possibility of them ever going on to do those things in their life. In other words, their complacent attitude actually causes them to be spiritually incapable. And it hinders them in all forms of growth and maturity when it comes to their spiritual life. I mean, think about it like this. Why did Peter say that we were to read the Word of God? He said, as newborn babes, that you would desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may be able to grow thereby. Okay? So that's his whole intention behind us even having us read the Word of God, is so that we could grow thereby. But without a desire to grow, where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us far below the level that God expects us to be at, which is an unacceptable level to the Lord. It's an incapable condition. So when all these things come our way, whether it's resisting temptation or being used mightily or even being the testimony that God wants to use us to be, we're incapable of doing those things. Why? It all boils down to we're not willing to grow. And what was Paul's prayer for every new convert? Okay, and as a matter of fact, for every single Christian that's ever lived, because we all start off as new converts. Well, he said that it was for every one of us to have a firm grasp on the entire type of spiritual existence that God has called His people to experience, which He said was this: to be filled with all the fullness of God, that we might be able to know what is the greatness of His power to usward who believe. He said that He wanted us to be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. I mean, that's what He said He wants to experience. So it's very easy to see that the overall goal of a Christian is to grow, to progress, and to become more mature in their faith. That's easy to see just by looking at His prayers for the people of God. But without a desire to progress and to move forward and to become more mature in your faith, what do you think is going to take place instead? You're going to stay stuck in a rut, and eventually you're going to start slipping backwards. Okay? So it's no wonder why the Lord commanded us in verse 3 to become like little children. Because without us as the saints of God having the desire to want to grow up and to become more mature in our spiritual lives, we won't be able to truly live for God, nor will we by any means be able to eventually make it into the kingdom of God. So we've got to understand that this commandment He's given us is essential for us to obey. It's necessary. It has to take place. But unfortunately, a lot of people just don't see it that way. Is this making sense, Brother Armstrong? Because everybody's looking at me real confused. Now, I knew God was going to be dealing with some folks because, Brother Loomis, I had another point. Okay, kids dream big. That's good. I mean, I preach right there. I mean, I could have got everybody excited with that one. But He said, I don't want you to add that point. I want you to just talk about this. If we don't have the desire to grow, it keeps us in a rut, which eventually will cause you to go backwards. And we all know where that leads. But what do you think would happen if the people of God would refuse to hinder themselves in that way and they would literally commit themselves to taking on this childlike characteristic that we're talking about tonight, which is to have the desire to grow and to mature in their faith? Well, the answer to that question is really easy. Because what would happen is we would start seeing people that struggled with this very thing doing the exact opposite of all the problems that we just got done talking about. I mean, because the people that were struggling this would go from being incapable and insufficient in their spiritual lives to becoming more than conquerors, Brother Martin, just like Romans 8 talks about and says we ought to be. I mean, they would become balanced and well-rounded in their faith instead of being dwarfed spiritually and failing to grow up in certain areas like they should. I mean, they'd start to excel in their spiritual lives instead of sliding backwards or remaining in a rut. All in all, they would be left with nothing else to experience but God's best in their life simply because they would not be open to experiencing anything else. Because they'd made the commitment. Listen, all I want is to progress in my spiritual life. So again, it's no wonder why the Son of God is exhorting, instructing, and commanding us in verse 3 to take on this childlike characteristic in our spiritual life. And because He's given us that commandment, folks, it is our duty as the people of God to make sure that we do it. Amen? It's our duty. And Brother Ron, I'm just going to have you play something, okay? In closing, and I've tried to preach fairly short here, I want to just ask you some questions, okay? Are you somebody that is really open to becoming spiritually mature? Okay, now I chose my words very carefully there. Now I want you to notice one word. Are you really open? Is that your interest in your spiritual life? Is that the kind of spiritual existence that you're practicing and that you're pursuing, that you're even interested? I mean, are you somebody that is open to becoming spiritually mature? Whether you just got saved or whether you've been saved for 50 years. Or are you a person that has become perfectly content to stay in one spot? What we'd call a babe in Christ, even though you've been saved for a number of years. Or a spiritual toddler or adolescent, even though you've been saved for a while. You understand what I'm saying? Or maybe you're guilty of allowing yourself to be intentionally unbalanced in your spiritual life. And what I mean by that is where you've let yourself grow in certain areas, but you have refused or refrained from letting yourself grow in others. In other words, you know, maybe in this particular Christian area, you ain't got a problem with that, so you'll give yourself 100%. But when God says this, man, you're just not interested in going there. If so, then you need to take very serious heed to the instruction that the Lord's given us in this text. When He said, listen, if you want to make it into the kingdom of heaven, then you're going to have to become as a little child in this area. And it very well might be that some of us have to shrink down and quit acting like we know everything and like we've got it all together and drop the charade and the pretending and say, Lord, you know what? Amen. As He was up there preaching, there were some things that You touched my heart about and I realized I'm not everything that I think that I am or even that I claim to be. But I need to become like a child in this area so that I can start to grow up in You like You desire for me to. And there's a real easy way to test yourself to see where you might fall in these different things that I've been talking about. Okay? First of all, you could ask yourself, in what ways have I been growing lately? I mean, my spiritual life. You should be able to think of that real quick. I mean, if you're spending time with God and you're progressing in your spiritual life, the Lord should lay on your heart right now, oh, I've grown in this area. I've grown in this particular area. I've done this. If you're drawing a blank, there's a reason for that, okay? Or what are some of the new responsibilities that God has asked you to do within the past 3 months? And I'm not necessarily saying the pastor asked you to teach a Sunday school class. I'm saying, what has God asked you to do, laid on your heart to do, because He was trusting somebody to go and do what He's asking them to do? Or doesn't He ask you to do stuff anymore? Or let's say, you know how kids will measure themselves, you know, standing up against a doorway, you know? And they'll stand there, and as they're growing, they keep marking, you know, they'll say, okay, I'll stand up real straight, and then you mark up there, and a couple months later, they might, you know, all those different marks that they have? Okay, if you were to measure your spiritual life since you've been saved at ground level, okay, how do you think those marks would look? How high up would they go? Would they be consistent or accurate with the amount of time that you've been saved? And I'm not trying to be discouraging, but as I was trying to get around the exciting point that, you know, we're to dream big, man, and all the things that God said, I don't want you to use that point. I want you to drive the one I've already given you home. Because I really think that God's going to try to deal with some people because they're not growing in Him like they should be. I really want you to get that picture in your mind. I remember when Brother Chad Maurer, oh, the jerk. I told this here before, but he drew this chart out one time. It was just me and him talking. And he made a circle over here and a circle over here and drew a line to the middle of each one of those circles. Okay. And he wrote cold up here and he wrote hot up on top of the other one. And he said, okay, now what I want you to do is measure out where you think you are in your spiritual life. I mean, are you cold or are you hot? So I was looking at that and I was doing pretty good. I thought, you know, I mean, there's, whatever, you know, so I'm sitting there looking there and I got about, you know, 3/4 of the way over and I really thought I was about at 7/8, but I thought I'll be conservative so it doesn't look like I'm bragging, you know. And I put it at 3/4 and he goes, oh, okay, is that's where you think that you're at? And I said, yeah, well, maybe a little further, but yeah. And he goes, okay. And then he read to me out of Revelations chapter 3, I would that you would be cold or hot, and if you're anywhere in the middle, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Thanks a lot, buddy. Appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? But it really, really, really was something that stuck in my head that I've never been able to get out. And as I was thinking about this message and praying over it, I thought, if I were to stand up against that door in my spiritual life, and they were to take marks, okay, back 17 years ago when I got saved down here at ground level, and then what are some of the marks? Well, I remember God dealt with me to give up all kinds of things, Sister Davis. I mean, drinking, smoking, drugs, all that kind of stuff, man. I had to get rid of that. I mean, so those were some heavy marks that I got right from the very beginning. Then he deal with me about the people that I was hanging around with, the music that I was listening to, the movies that I watched, the way that I dressed, the way that I conducted myself, the testimony that I gave. And it was just marks going up, and then I started wondering, but what about when you start really getting it together and you say, you know what? I'm a holiness person. Isn't it strange how all of a sudden it goes and all of a sudden your growth stops? Now, God never desires for us to stop in our growth in Him. And I started realizing that. He said, okay, you're not witnessing like you ought to be. I got a hold of that and really started witnessing, so I got another mark. But isn't it strange, like it seems harder and harder for us, once we've been saved a while, to keep having marks on the wall like we ought to? Why is that? It's because our relationship isn't what it ought to be. It doesn't mean that you don't have one. It's just not as intense and intimate as God desires for it to be. You know, Brother Loomis, after he was laying that kind of stuff on my heart, man, I started getting down to business and seeking His face. And just like on Sunday morning, he said, well, I've tried to teach you lessons even the hard way and you still don't learn them. You're so stupid. Something I got to work on. It's another mark I can have on the wall. And I don't know where you're lacking. But I do know that our Lord and Savior wanted me to deal with this particular topic to this particular church on this particular night. And say, listen, if you're not growing like you ought to be, it doesn't have to be that way. If you're in a rut, you ain't got to stay there. If you've started sliding backwards, that is not God's will or His intention for your life. And because we know what direction He wants to go, Brother Gio, if we would make that commitment down around these altars, God, that I'm only interested in moving one way, and that's growing and becoming more and more mature in my faith in You and fulfilling all of these desires that Paul prayed about in the Word of God. To where I would be able to comprehend with all saints what is the entire scope of Christianity. That I might really be filled with all, man, that's a big word, all of the fullness of God. Lord, that's what I'm going to commit myself to doing. What do you think those marks would look like then? Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Oh boy, you ought to be the preacher when you got to preach something like this and see the looks that you get, boy. Man alive. But folks, I love you. And I want to see our church grow into everything that God desires it to be. I want to see us as a body believers grow into everything the Lord wants us to be. And I want to see each one of you as individuals be everything that the Lord desires us to be. But if we're going to do that, we have to take on this childlike characteristic where we want to grow up and become more and more mature. We've got to refuse to settle for just growing up in one area and remaining little dwarfs in others. We got to say, God, I want my growth to be continual. I want it to be complete. And I want to commit myself to doing just that until You come down and I start seeing some marks in the right way like I used to. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to You in Jesus' name, Lord, and we love You so very much. I've done my best to say what You've laid on my heart, God. I've tried to say it in the way that You would have me to say it. I pray that the devil wouldn't be able to come through and have victory in certain people's hearts and minds to where they would be discouraged over the fact that they're not growing like they ought to, or maybe they don't even have a desire to. But Lord, I pray that the focus would be on the fact that You've come down and You've dealt with their hearts and their minds tonight about this subject because You desire for them to make a commitment around this altar, which is to commit themselves to want to grow up and become mature in their faith. We know that if we'll come down and we'll just express that desire to You, You'll take care of the rest. All we'll have to do is be obedient to what You speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would do exactly that. Help our mind, protect us, so to speak, from what the devil's going to be trying to say to us when we get around the altars. Don't let discouragement set in, but let encouragement set in because we realize what You're trying to do. Now, folks, I'm going to call us down to pray. And, brother, if you could start playing something. And here's what I want you to really think about. I want you to picture in your mind what those growth chart would look like if ground level was the day you got saved. And all the different areas that you've grown in, has that stopped? Has it become sporadic instead of consistent like it used to be? When is the last time God has asked you to do something? What area have you grown significantly in lately? And if you have to think about any of those questions very long, there's a commitment that needs to be made. Amen? Amen. And I hope that you're going to be willing to make it. Amen. Let's come and pray.